It's time to get green. Doug Oster and Jessica Walliser are in the house. All natural, no pesticides, no artificial ingredients. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020 KDK.
Man, do we have a great hour coming up and a very special guest that Doug and Jess will tell you about in a moment. But please go to TribLive.com. Love that paper. Love what they do. But more importantly, I know how much you all love them. So if it's a question, and the weather is cooperating until it snows in a couple of days. So if you have a question about what you're thinking about doing this spring in the garden or around the house, all you need to do is call us at 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com, or you can text both of them at the Wright Automotive text line, the same number, 866-391-1020, the best deal in town. Here they are, Doug and Jess. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Doug Oster from EverybodyGardens.com and the Tribune Review.
And I'm horticulturist Jessica Walliser.
And how about that weather? It was so nice out yesterday that Jessica's sore from working in the garden. Tell me everything you did.
Oh my gosh. Well, I worked in the garden from about 9 in the morning until 4:30 in the afternoon. And that was the first like really serious, hardcore, full day of gardening. And I'm glad
I've
been...
That's like a job.
I am glad, right? I'm glad
did
I've been...
Did you get a lunch break?
...doing yoga. I did. And actually, I did take John super quick to the mechanics to get one... He had a flat tire, so to get one of his tires...
He actually texted me. He said, I never heard bones creak like that before.
Yep. It was... I'm a little bit sore today. But all those months of yoga have helped.
All right.
Be a little more flexible than I usually am this time of year. But I got lots of stuff done. I mean, I still hadn't cut down my ornamental grasses. Some of them I had. I still have a couple more left.
Let me put that on my list. Okay, go on.
Yep. I did go ahead and clean up my perennials in the back section of the garden.
Yeah, I'll put that on my list.
I cleaned up the vegetable garden.
Am I allowed to take all my stuff out now?
Yeah. Because the temperatures are... This is mid-April.
Okay,
so this
I can
is
cut
perfect.
Down all the perennials I left up per your instructions.
Yep. You can clean things out now really good. Get the vegetable garden cleaned up.
I know yours is
pretty cleaned up to begin with.
I would, but I'm busy today. I've got to be out at the Murraysville Home Show at 2 o'clock. Otherwise, I'd be working in the garden all day.
Can I just interject something if you don't mind? I was just driving yesterday morning. It's like 3 o'clock.
Wow, really? Oh, sorry.
I don't have the chauffeur anymore. They took him. Listen, so I'm driving to work at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm going by that magical place that is the Old Economy Village. And I said, you know, should be about time for Doug to be visiting. And lo and behold, there it is.
Oh, that's right. That's a big deal. Now, that's next Saturday. The Old Economy Village, every year I do their spring garden workshop. Now, they have, including me, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 speakers. Besides me, I'll be talking all about container gardening, something that Jessica is close to your heart, container gardening. Cynthia Pagish from the Penn State Master Gardeners will be talking about wild edibles. Zach Ruskin will be talking about hops and brewing. Now, there's something I can get behind.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, that's good.
Linda Thomas doing a historic cooking demonstration, yeast and hops. And then my friend Dean Sylvester, the historic horticulturalist there, will be doing a garden tour. You get 3 meals also. And then I'm having a big party at the end where I'm going to cook for you. It's only $40 for members, $50 for non-members all day.
What time does it start, Doug?
Starts about 9 in the morning.
And goes till when?
Probably 3 or 4.
Neat.
Yeah, just all day. And, you know, I one of the reasons I do this is because I think Old Economy Village is a very special place. And this is their fundraiser. And so I would love for you to come. We have just a wonderful day there. And you can find out all the information at oldeconomyvillage.org.
That's good for you. That's a great event, and that's a wonderful place.
I love that place. And Dean Sylvester, the historic horticulturalist there, it's just what he does. I mean, you know, big compost piles and beautiful vegetable garden, beautiful flower garden. That's one of those places where people just go, you know, I went in the third grade from, you know, when I was in school, but you should go back because it is a very important historic location.
All right, listen, we're going to take 10th caller right now to win a $25 gift certificate from Sorgles, 412-922-1020. Folks already lining up to talk to Doug and Jess. We'll come back, take your phone calls next, KDK Radio.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020 KDK.
Hey, congratulations to Maida from Brentwood, winner of that certificate from Sorgles. We've got that one from Janoski's coming up in a little bit. And the world tour of Doug continues for the spring of 2018.
Yes. Today I'll be at the Murraysville Home Show at 2 p.m. talking gardening and giving away lots of free seeds courtesy of John Sheeper's Kitchen Garden Seeds. I've got these cool collections of like Direxo vegetables, Direxo flowers, really good stuff. That is at the Murraysville Sports Zone on School Road in Export. A little later on, we got a great guest, John Harrison, the Vice President of Marketing for Espoma, one of our favorite companies, is going to be here right after the 7:30 break. And, Rob, are there any callers?
There are some callers. Let's get to them right now. By the way, if you want to join Doug and Jess today, 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com. Here's Gene in Pittsburgh. Good morning, Gene. Welcome to KDK Radio.
Good morning. My question is about my azalea bushes. The deer ate all the leaves off of them, and I'm just concerned about what I should do to care for those
I hear you, sister.
You got to hate those deer. they're my azaleas in the same, wherever they can reach to, you know. And mm-hmm. I about 3 in the morning last night, I realized I left the gate open to the vegetable garden, so I'll see what carnage is left in there. All my peas are up. What else do I have in there? All sorts of stuff, radishes. And,
well, it's not going to be there anymore if one got in there, because boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
So for you, I think that it will come back. If it's just 1 year of feeding like that, a lot of times they will re-leaf. So I would expect that to happen on your plant probably within the next couple of weeks here. Now, where you get into big trouble is if it's defoliated for a few years in a row. That's when you can really start to see branch dieback, decline in the health of the shrub. But really only 1 year like that with an azalea, it typically will re-leaf. And you won't have any blooms this year because obviously they ate the blooms off.
Right.
You know, but you can sacrifice 1 year's bloom. Yeah. So
it will re-leaf, and which is a relief.
Okay.
How about some fertilizer, Jess?
Yeah, well, the one thing Doug just brought up, which I was going to mention as well, is that it is a good time to go ahead and fertilize that plant. And you want to use, because it is an azalea, an acid-specific granular fertilizer. The one that we usually recommend is called Hollytone.
I do use that.
Perfect. Yes. So this would be a spring that you would definitely want to go ahead and fertilize that plant with.
Hollytone from Espoma.
There you go.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Rich in Crafton. Hey, Rich, how are you? Welcome to KDK Radio.
I'm doing good. Hey, guys, we still miss you out there at Giant Eagle. You should try getting out to the malls or somewhere where we can see you a little more easily.
Well, we would like to do that. We miss everybody, too. We'll figure something out.
And
stand on the street corner and give away flowers.
I haven't had it, but my neighbors are complaining about the little tiny ants and spiders everywhere. Is there anything naturally you can do without using the bug spray?
Yes. Love your ants and love your spiders.
I got kitty cats. I'm always worried about putting powders down or something, thinking they're going to get in and get sick with it or whatever.
Yeah, so. Are you talking about in the house or out in the yard?
Well, they're right along the door, the doorsteps of coming into the house and the windows and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah, because outside, I mean...
Sounds like a horror movie.
Sometimes, yeah, right. Sometimes we, hear people complain about ants and spiders and insects outside, and frankly, that's where they belong. That's their territory, not ours, so we should leave them be. But as far as when they get into the house, yeah, you do have to be careful, and you obviously, especially since you have pets or if you had kids, not for your own health as well, you want to avoid using any, harsh products. There are there's an organic, and the name is escaping me right now, but it's based on mint oil, and it's an organic ant stop product that you would actually spray on the threshold of your door like that, right down at ground level, and that would sort of form a barrier for them, a sensory barrier that they wouldn't cross over and come into the house if you can find the point where they're coming in. Another thing that works, which is kind of silly, is a little strip that you put down with your finger of petroleum jelly, because they get stuck in it and they can't cross over. And that's not a big deal with pets. In fact, one time my dog ate something and we fed him.
Somebody mentioned lavender oil. I don't know if that...
I have not tried that myself, and I don't know of any studies or products based on it, but it's certainly something that would not hurt you to spray, and just see if that would help as well.
EcoSmart?
EcoSmart, that's what it is. EcoSmart is the spray that
you use. Oh, I knew I'd remember.
And I actually have some of that at home, because we did last year have some ants coming in to get, then they were trying to access the cat food. And so we put down a little barrier of that where they were coming in.
I didn't remember.
Well.
I looked it up on my phone.
You looked it up. I know you looked
it up.
What
about yellow jackets in the ground? They're starting to come out now.
Yeah, they are. In fact, we were seeing some paper wasps yesterday, and yellow jackets are a type of paper wasp, but yellow jackets build their nest underground, not up in the trees like the big brown paper wasp.
How big is that nest underground? Is it a big nest?
It's as big as the hornet ones that are up in the trees. Yeah, and it does depend on how big the cavity. They usually will like build a nest inside of an old rodent burrow or groundhog burrow or something like that. Really, if they're in a place that you are not going to be going, so you're not going to regularly, you know, if they're in the woods or in the back of your property, you're not going to access it on a regular basis, it's really not worth doing anything about. Just avoid that area. The insects get aggressive in the fall because they know they're going to die, because they all die at the end, except for the fertilized queens. So, you know, I wouldn't worry about them too much unless they're somewhere that you need to go in and out your door or something like that.
And then what? What's an organic control for something like that?
I would actually always, in the case of hornets and what we call ground bees, which are actually the yellow jackets, I would always suggest calling a professional in to take care of them, because they can be really aggressive.
Our friend Steve is a bee expert from bee control. He can do it.
Yeah. Yep.
All righty. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Well, what else did you do in your garden there, Jess?
Well, you know, one thing we should talk about, Doug, which we mentioned briefly off air here, and that is that right now the forsythia are blooming.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a lawn fan, let's say.
A lawnaholic,
and you like to have your perfect green lawn, and you don't want to deal with crabgrass in your lawn or other annual weeds, right now is the perfect time to put down an organic pre-emergent herbicide that keeps the weed seeds from germinating like crabgrass. And the organic version are based on corn gluten meal. And there's a bunch of out there. We like, here we are again with the Spoma. They have a weed preventer one that is based on corn gluten meal. This is the time to do it, right? When the forsythia are in.
It's really interesting how it works, you know, and it's great to have an organic pre-emergent, but it just stops the seeds from sprouting. If you have existing dandelions, it's not going to stop that weed, but any dandelion seeds that are there they sprout, but then they can't.
Right, they die soon after germinating, right?
So why now? Why do we have to put that on now?
Well, because the soil temperature, there's a certain threshold soil temperature that's required for crabgrass and a lot of other warm season weeds to begin to germinate. And so when we put down this barrier of corn gluten meal, which is, it's a granular form and it's sprinkled on the soil, it's broadcast over the lawn. And when we put that down, that forms that sort of impenetrable mat or barrier at the soil surface that does dehydrate those little seedlings as soon as they germinate. So you can't do it. You can't put it down and then sow something. So you can't put it down and then sow grass seed, because it will also keep the grass seed from germinating.
One way I like to use it, I mean, it's mostly used for lawns, but just think of putting some bean seeds in, and then as soon as they sprout, now you could put a little corn gluten meal around there if you were worried about any annual weeds sprouting. You just got to be careful how you use it and understand how it works.
Yeah, and I know people that use it in their perennial beds,
right,
and in their shrub beds as well. So if you're not going to be growing anything from seed and you want to prevent weed seeds from germinating, you can use that corn gluten meal in any area.
How long should you wait if you want to put some grass seed down after you've already put down some corn gluten meal to stop any weeds from coming up? When can you put grass seed
down? This would be a good question for the guy from Espoma, but as far as what I've read, it's about 6 weeks. That you want to separate the two by about 6 weeks so that it won't affect the germination of the grass seed. And that the timing is really critical, because it's soil temperature and it's air temperature, and so you want to time it just right. And then actually you should do a second application in the fall, because that's when you get the maximum weed control.
There's some tests that say it's very effective when you do that spring, fall,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly, yep. Yep, exactly. So it's a great product, and it is really effective, and there's some great studies on it and research, which, you know me being the giant science nerd, I really like to have that backing it up.
We rely on you for that.
For my science nerdiness?
Yes,
well,
yes,
thank you.
Yes,
thank
yes.
you very much for that. Hey, I was thinking of you. One of the articles that I had for the trip was different varieties of basil. And I was writing about like some of the Thai basils and cinnamon basils and lime and all that kind of stuff. And it made me think about, and you're doing your container talk, is that where you have to grow basil? Because you really don't have much sun in your vegetable garden.
No, it does okay in the vegetable garden.
Really?
I grow, I'm really obsessed with the large leaf varieties. I love the like lettuce leaf, and I've got some kind of mammoth Italian or something. It's in the greenhouse sprouted. Oh, and our Mexican sunflowers are sprouted. Yellow torch is sprouted. That's exciting. But yeah, that it does okay in the garden. Not as good as you would want it to if you had full sun, but yeah, and I keep it going. And I'm always doing like 2 or 3 crops because I get the basil downy mildew.
That
sometimes.
Was what I was going to ask. Those large leaf varieties that you grow, I mean, I think they're super susceptible. All of the sweet basil, except for 1 or 2 bread resistant varieties, I think most of them do end up with basil downy mildew, which is a real shame.
Bedner's yesterday doing a talk, and I got a nice walk through the greenhouse with Mr. Bedner. Oh, man. And they had basil, like tricolor basil, just in a pot. So it just, the seed comes that way. And so you got a purple, a green, and probably a big variety, too, in there in one little container.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
A lot of fun to go through the greenhouses, that's for sure. I'm looking forward, after we come back from the 7:30 break, to talk to John Harrison. He's the Vice President of Marketing for Espoma. Gosh, we go way back with Espoma, Jess.
Yes, we do.
Mine, I go back to the 70s, 1970s, Rob, not 1870s. But yeah, we'll talk to him when we come back.
I go back to the 1870s.
I bet you do.
Oh, I sure do. And it was fun. All right. Yes, it was. All right, listen, stay with us. 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com. Or you can text us on the Bright Automotive line, the best deal in town.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. Biz Radio 1020, KDKA.
All right, always a beautiful day at Janoski's, but especially with weather like we're going to have today. So get out there after 9 o'clock and enjoy garden center, greenhouse, everything that they do. Great tradition, Janoski's. And we're going to give you an opportunity right now to maybe take home a $25 gift certificate if you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020. But right now, that very special guest with Doug and Jess as the Organic Gardeners continue on KDK Radio.
Very excited to welcome John Harrison, Vice President of Marketing for Espoma, to the show. Jess, we were talking. When did your first interaction with Espoma?
Oh, my gosh. It was Hollytone. Hollytone is like the gateway to Espoma, I think, for so many people. And Hollytone, for me, I mean, as soon as I got out of college and started working for a landscaper, I mean, that's what we used to fertilize everybody's evergreens.
And Hollytone wasn't for me. You know, all the families used Hollytone in, you know, back to the 70s. So, John, welcome to the show.
What a joy to be with you both. Thank you so much for having me on your show this morning.
You know, I would say Espoma's best known for those granular fertilizers, but boy, I tell you what, for the last 2 years, I've been using your liquid fertilizers that are in concentrate, and I love them, especially for my containers.
Well, in 2016, it was a game changer. We put out the 3 liquid plant foods, Start, Grow, and Bloom, and they're just astounding what they'll do. The products have very strong microbial content. In other words, they're teeming with microbes, as a friend of ours used to say, or still says, with humic acids and natural proteins, and they just grow big, beautiful plants in containers. They're fabulous. And what also sets them apart is the what we call the easy dose cap. So you never have to really think about it. The cap on the bottle measures the dose for you. You pour it right in your watering can, and you just kind of stand back and let the plants and the plant food do the work, and the results are phenomenal.
I was going to mention that measuring cap, because before the show, Doug and I were putting some ideas down on paper of questions that we had for you, and I would just like to pass along this message for you to pass along the message to whoever in your company invented that darn cap, because it is the coolest thing.
Yep.
I always have hated having the special measuring spoon out in the yard, and then you'd have to pour the fertilizer into that and then put in the water can. This is so nice because it's the exact dosage. It's like the fluoride, you know, mouthwashes that my kid use. You know they're only getting the right amount, and it's genius. I absolutely love it.
Well, you're kind to say that. Before that, the interaction with organic plant foods was generally you unscrew the cap, you pour the plant food into the cap to measure it, to put it into your watering can. You get a bunch of the plant food on your hands, and it's probably fish-based, so you end up going through the rest of your week smelling like fish. You're really not sure if you got it right. This just takes all the think out of it. But I don't want to dwell too much on the cap. What's in the bottle is critical, too. The plant food is just phenomenal. I have never seen results like I've seen over the last 2 years in the containers around my deck and patio. It's just a great, great plant food.
I agree. That's what I'm feeding all my containers with. Talk a little bit about this Biotone Starter Plus, because this is this is pretty amazing stuff.
Well, we developed Biotone Starter Plus in the maybe 10 years ago now. Maybe it's almost 10 years old. But we took a great all-natural organic plant food. We sprayed our Biotone microbes on it in a larger concentration. So, again, it's teeming with microbes, and we added mycorrhizal fungi. And that's a fancy word, but it's a fungi that forms a relationship with plant roots, and it makes plants' roots grow very quickly. So if you have a new planting, you're putting plants down in the landscape, you're buying lots of money, spending lots of money for high-value landscape plants, what you want to do is grow that constricted root mass very large, very quickly, so the plant can get through the first summer in drought. And Biotone Starter Plus does that. It's the ultimate starter plant food. There's nothing like it.
And that's a granular product that you actually put in the planting hole?
It is. It's a granular material you mix with the soil that you backfill the hole with as you're planting, and then the roots come in contact with the mycorrhizal fungi, and that starts what's called a symbiotic relationship, which means that it's friendly for both the plant root and the fungi, and the result is the plant roots grow very large very quickly, opens up all kinds of channels for water and nutrients to get into that plant more efficiently, and it just grows a big, beautiful plant. And also insures against drought loss in the coming summertime.
John, how long has Espoma been doing this with all these organic products?
Well, the Espoma company started in 1929. So in 2019, we're going to be celebrating our 90th anniversary. We're very excited about that.
Yeah, I, like I said, I've been using those products since as long as we've been gardening, and then. Another thing that we talk a lot about on this show is organic lawn care, and that's something that Espoma is part of too, right?
Well, yeah. In, I guess it was 2011, we developed the Espoma Annual Feeding Program, which was trying to convince people to get away from the pesticide-laden programs. You see, you know, you go into the garden center, and it's like, here, buy these four bags, and it's pesticide, 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 pesticide. Now we're trying to say just buy a fertilizer, buy something that's going to grow your lawn, and you can grow your lawn into success just as easily or maybe more easily than you can trying to suppress things from growing. So the Espoma Annual Feeding Program was developed to help people grow great lawns without all kinds of control products and pesticides, and it's available in garden centers today.
One thing that I found interesting at the Espoma website was the video stuff there to show people how these products work.
Well, you know, in the new age, people want to go online and they want to be inspired. So we've tried to develop lots of video content to show people how to be successful in the garden. It's a three-dimensional interactive type thing, and you can go in and see all kinds of projects that we've done. We just put up one, which is astounding, one about growing strawberries in cylinders. So they look like wind chimes hanging in the garden. They hang up and they look literally like wind chimes. You can have a hanging strawberry garden. It's really inspirational. And if nothing else, we hope we're giving people ideas about how they can be successful in their gardening efforts.
John, thank you so much for joining the show. For more information about Espoma, just go to their website. It's www.espoma.com. And as we said, we've been using those products since we started gardening, mm-hmm. and that is good stuff for your garden.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. Biz Radio 1020 KDKA.
Well, you know what they say, she knows it all. That's Denise Schreiber. She's a grower, horticulturist, and our garden goddess. Denise, how are you this morning?
Well, I was hoping, you know, the weather we had yesterday would stick around for, I don't know.
Ever?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm done with, you know, the cold, the snow, the rain. I realize there's parts of the country that really need rain. I'd gladly pack it up and ship it to them.
I concur, and my poor friend who lives in Minneapolis, they got like a foot of snow yesterday, so yeah.
Well, Jess was working in the garden all day yesterday. What about you?
I was, too. I was weeding again. I didn't get a chance to cut down some ornamental grasses, so I was doing that. But what I really want to talk about, we're talking about basil.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a seed variety called Eleonora from Johnny's Seeds that has intermediate resistance to the basil downy mildew. But Proven Winners has a new basil. It's not going to be out this year. It's going to be out next year. That's a vegetative basil, but it is totally resistant to the basil downy mildew.
Wow, that's a breakthrough, boy.
Yeah, because I know, you know, I struggle with it every year. And I was talking to, her name's Dr. Marjorie Doctory, and she is kind of the guru of the fungus world. She studies fungus. And she was telling me that while they're making a lot of, you know, headways in it, actually they said the best thing to do if you are growing basil, and I grow mine on my deck in the saddle boxes because it stays much cleaner and it's easier to, you know, oh, I need some basil, run out and grab it. But you want to get it started early. You want to get it out there and, you know, harvest it because you are probably going to, you know, get the mildew and start over. So it's a good thing that if you're maybe starting succession cropping of basil, that you'll actually be able to keep it all summer. When, in fact, when it rains, I'm able to actually take my deck boxes off and put them underneath a cover when I know that we're going to have, you know, 28 days of straight rain.
Mm-hmm.
And that way it's still getting light, it's still getting the temperatures, but the foliage is actually staying dry, which is the key thing. You want to keep the foliage dry, keep the roots watered.
All right, Mrs. Know-It-All, thank
excellent
you very much. Good
advice,
stuff and interesting
always.
Information.
That's exciting.
Hey, let's talk to Franklin. Hey, Franklin, good morning. Welcome to KDK Radio.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
I've got some goji plants, G-O-J-I plants, and I bought them, and they shipped them in here, and they was about an inch and a half high, and that's about a month ago, and I put them in potting soil. And they don't grow. They're still about an inch and a half high.
Mm-hmm.
They're not dead, but they're. I looked on the internet, and they said to fertilize them with rose food.
Mm-hmm.
So I put some rose Miracle-Gro rose on there, and nothing's happening. Do you have any suggestions on what I should do to get these to grow?
My suggestion is that you be patient.
Huh.
Goji berries are not super fast growing, but when they're really young like that, this weather is not cooperating, this growing conditions, this is not great weather and conducive to growth. So once we start to get warm weather, make sure they have a nice spot outside and they will grow. They will grow throughout the season. I don't give
they're
up on
weed.
Them. Just be patient. Yes.
They found them growing in the actual, in the median strip of the Audubon.
Did they really?
Yeah, yeah. I talked to somebody from Proven Winners about goji berries years ago, and that was one of the varieties was just found growing in the median. So once it gets going, once it gets hot,
yep,
you'll never get rid of that goji berry.
And they're
you'll have,
good, though.
Oh, they're good for you, too.
Yes, they
yeah.
are. All
make,
right.
Make you look beautiful, too. The beautiful people use goji berries as some kind of treatment to look young.
Hmm. Who knew?
Yeah.
I need a whole lot of goji berries.
Yeah, like an entire
absolutely.
Acre.
Absolutely. Next stop, the local funeral director. Try some of this on them. All right, let's go to Mary Ann in Wexford. Hey, Mary Ann, welcome to KDK Radio.
Well, good morning. I have a question about pencil point junipers. Why are the needles all turning brown?
Ooh, okay, well, first of all, where do you have it planted? How old is it and how big is it?
Oh, let's see. It's about 3 foot, 4 foot high, I think, and it's near a sunny sunny part, and it's about 3 years old, 2 or 3 years old, and they were beautiful. They were beautiful.
Okay. Are they only browning at the base of the plant, or is it browning all the way up to the top?
All the way up.
All the way up to the top. Okay. And it is not under the eave of the house or somewhere else that would keep it from getting water all winter long.
No, they're not under the eave. No, they're
okay.
Just out from, they're a little bit beyond the eave.
Okay, because that's usually something we worry about with foundation plantings. People plant them under the eaves of the house, and then they wonder why they die, because they just, yeah. So my worry always with junipers, including the sky pencil juniper, is that there is a blight that is easily spread on pruning equipment. And so if you had a landscaper or you yourself had pruned a juniper that had this blight and then moved over to that juniper, it spreads really quickly. Typically, the blight like that you'll see on one branch and then another branch versus overall browning like you're having. But if somebody did with like a shear, you know, a hedge trimmer or something like that,
yeah,
that would definitely spread that pathogen. And once those junipers have it, there's nothing that you can do about it.
What would be the best way to identify that to be sure exactly what it is?
I'd actually
baby tree guy come.
You could have a tree care company come. You could also send a tissue sample, which would be just a sample of that stem, to the Penn State Plant Pathology Lab, and you can just Google Penn State Plant Disease Lab, and they'll tell you how to package the sample and send that off, and that would confirm it. But when you see overall browning like that on a juniper, it's never a good sign.
Yeah.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. Biz Radio 1020, Katie.
All right, listen, from Murraysville today, South Hills, Cool Springs next Saturday, and in between, something else next weekend, Old Economy Village. You're going to have a chance to get up close and personal with this guy, Doug Oster.
That's right. Today I'll be at the Murraysville Home Show at 2 p.m. talking gardening and giving away lots of free seeds, courtesy of John Sheeper's Kitchen Garden Seeds. The next Saturday, all day at Old Economy Village, it's just an all day of garden speakers talking about container gardening, wild edibles, hops and brewing, yeast and hops, and then a great garden tour of Old Economy. The whole thing's only $50. Next Saturday, you get three meals out of the deal, and I'm going to cook for you for a big party in the afternoon. Go to oldeconomy.com to find out all the, I'm sorry, oldeconomyvillage.org to find out all the information. So are you going to work in the garden today, or are you going to take it easy?
I got to drive to New Jersey today,
oh,
so I will get to be on the turnpike all day.
Are you speaking
day.
In New Jersey?
I am, yeah, tomorrow.
Wow.
So I will unfortunately not, which is why I spent such an intensive day in the garden yesterday, because I knew I wouldn't get out there today.
And I'm going to make sure that the deer did not get into my vegetable garden and
good luck.
Close that gate up again. So I hope everything's okay. Boy, the peas are looking good, I'll tell you that. And that's a great thing.
And so are the Q's.
Oh, P's and Q's. Remember, the Organic Gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden
and a safer place to live.